Hi, lady babes. So in this episode, I want to dive deep into how I approached dating my now boyfriend and how I landed this really amazing man. And I did it in a way that is a bit controversial. It goes against what we are taught as independent, free women. And I followed some traditional aspects and learned that actually those are there and those are in place for a reason. And I've known this for quite a while. But it was the first time being able to actually practice it in the wild for the first time since learning it. Because at the time when I learned it, I was kind of in a situationship and I wasn't doing any of those things. And I was still very wounded. And so this was a really perfect time to approach it because I was very intentional about what I was looking for. I wanted intentional dating for marriage. I wasn't looking to waste my time or be like, yeah, like let's like, I like you, you like me, let's just see how it goes. And oh, should we move in? Sure, let's move in, see how, let's get a test run to see if we'd be good for marriage. And then he's getting everything. You're showing up as what, like a wife, but you haven't been given the things that you want. So I decided that I was going to change the entire way I've dated for all of my life and actually listen to some of these different pieces of advice I pieced together from men. I wasn't listening to women in the dating scene. I was listening to men because I was wanting to date a man. And I think we're so focused as women of trying to have men understand us or trying to approach us in the ways that we think makes most sense, but it doesn't make sense for them. And so I was not listening to women for this one. So if you haven't listened to the episode before this, I highly recommend you do because I actually lay out all of the things that I did and all of the changes I made in order to go from a wounded woman who was only going for men who were really abusive or just like subpar, who were not putting their words with actions, who I had a very intense connection. It's like I knew him from another life or blah, blah, blah. And so I really changed how I approached that and landed a very yummy boyfriend who prioritizes me and treats me so well and respects me and honors me. And just, I am number one priority, but not in like one of those beta ways where, you know, they can't do anything or make a decision without the woman saying so. It's a very beautiful polarization that happens, and I'm loving this dance so far with him. Hey, Trigger Tribe! Welcome to Millennial Triggered, where we shed light on taboo topics and dive deep into the uncomfortable. We've chosen to expose the shit out of our personal lives in the attempt to demonstrate the power that comes from leaning into your vulnerability. So come get Millennial Triggered. So I won't get into the details of how we met. Just know it wasn't online. It was a beautiful organic setup. It was just so wonderful. And I approached it really in such a different way. So I won't explain like what happened verbatim with each date, but we had a date because it was somewhat of a setup. We had an unofficial date to see if we were vibing with each other. And at the end of that date, we went to a really great comedy show with our mutual friends. And at the end, he had me meet him out at his car because my friends, my good friend and her boyfriend live in my apartment. So we get up to the apartment parking lot. He's like, can I see you at my car? Like, yeah, go to his car. And he says, I've had a great time with you, Nell. I think you are vivacious. I love your personality. You're so bubbly. You're beautiful. And I want to take you out on an official date. I'd like to take you out on this weekend. What day works for you? And that was so nice because so many men these days are very laissez-faire. They are not, they don't approach it in this gentlemanly way. And I guarantee you that any woman who is worth her salt and who is putting a value on relationship is going to see that and mark you totally tenfold outside of the, like, you are above the rest just for doing that. As a man, you should show your intention. You should show, like, explain what it is that you're looking for. You want to go on a date, not let's hang, let's see how it goes. You want to go to a bar and just grab drinks. There's nothing casual about this. If you are looking for something casual, then that is okay. But both of us were looking for something long-term and committed, okay? And the way a man treats you at the beginning will represent how he treats you for the rest of the relationship, okay? So you need to keep that in your mind. So because I shifted who I was looking for and how I was showing up and what it was that I was calling in, I was able to show up in this beautiful, healed, feminine way with Jay versus the very wounded, feminine, overly masculinized way that I was approaching relationships in the past. And it was a beautiful combination. And so because he was raised to set intentions, even with women that he was only looking for casual relations with, he has been raised to treat women properly and respectfully, and never like there is just this gross, raw, cold transaction. So regardless, Jay always treats a woman with the utmost respect because he knows what a woman brings to the table, whether that is long-term relationship or something more casual. So that was really important. And he's and I have chatted and he wants to actually create a course where he teaches men the art of being a gentleman and how that will set you apart. So stay tuned. We'll see if that happens. So what I did was I followed the flow. I let go of this idea that I had a plan that needed to be set in place, and I followed his lead. If he fucked up, that was on him. It was not my responsibility to make that up. And an example of this is I heard from one guy. He said that his now wife was he was interested in his now wife at the time. Like he had flown in and was going to meet her. And because it was her town, he figured she would have a spot that she would want to go. So he shows up to her place, picks her up in the rental car and gets in. And she's like, where are we going? And he said, well, I don't know. Where do you want to go? I figured this is your town. You know it best. And like a boss, she said, you know what? I really like you and I'd love to see this go further. But I believe in you. Like, I believe in you and your ability to pick a good spot for us. And I'm not going to suggest something because I'd love to see what you think I would like. And very quickly, you know, he felt a little bit, embarrassed, as he should. And he very quickly figured out where to go. He wanted to know what she liked and da da da. And she was graceful. She, was like, okay, let this slide. He picked a really great place. They had a great time. And at the end, she said, you picked an awesome spot. I'm so impressed. And he felt so much better. And it just goes to show that sometimes men will test, or they won't show up in the best ways, or they won't be as productive as we women would hope they would be, because it's sometimes a test. And when you call them to the table in a very sweet way without bruising their very, very fragile ego, they can meet you. They can meet the task and rise up to the challenge. And then they can feel like that bruised ego has been healed when you get a bit of praise. And I know a lot of people are thinking, oh my God, Nell, shut the fuck up. If he wanted to, he would, if he blah, 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 blah. The biggest thing I have learned from pursuing content that has been made from men who are husbands, who value their women, who value women in general, and who take more of a traditional approach because they understand the dynamics between men and women, it's just how men are. Stop trying to make men act like women. Stop trying to make them understand you as a woman so that they act like you. You want them to understand you as their woman, but you need to understand them as a man in the dating scene, okay? And so that was like a big mental shift for me because I was like, you know, I'll just do it because I obviously can be more of a man than you. So this is very different. So I made the choice to just allow to be led. Obviously, I had my voice and I could speak up and say, actually, I don't like that or could we change this? But I wanted to see what Jay was going to do because, again, I'm not looking to waste my goddamn fucking time. I am here to get married to the man that I am going to be doing a lot of work with in relationship, okay? I am here to live a lovely life with my man and be treated the way that I deserve and that I've worked so fucking hard to be, you know, I've worked so fucking hard on myself and I deserve to be treated on the barometer. How am I saying? I've worked really hard on myself and therefore I deserve to be treated on that level. And I also am here to love and treat my future husband the way that he has worked on himself. And I'm here and ready to pour in like all my love into this man because he's ready to pour all of his love into me. So I wanted to see who this man was. And I decided that it was okay if I was disappointed. And that was a big one for me because in the past, I just was so scared of being disappointed. I was so scared of being alone. I was so scared of knowing the truth. So I let it all go. Show me who you are because I've been in two relationships with highly narcissistic men and that's required me to rebuild my life twice. So this was my opportunity to see who this was and we were going to be testing this man. I then got clear on what red flags I was looking for, the ones that I had learned in my past, the ones that were like the biggest lessons that I totally ignored. And then I actually developed questions that were elaborate so I could see his thinking. And it would be like a question I'd ask and he would think it was just a normal question. But then the way he responded, I was trying to figure out if he had an empathetic ability, if he could put himself in someone else's shoes, if he could admit to wrongdoing, if he could admit that there were aspects of him that were annoying or negative or that other people might not like, because highly narcissistic individuals cannot do that. They cannot take responsibility for themselves. I also watched very closely like situations to see if he did something that made me feel like unintentionally made me feel uncomfortable. Could he recorrect that? Could he take responsibility? And I knew that doing all of this was going to require taking away the hormonal aspects because we all know that when we start to date someone, we're really aroused. Our arousal is heightened. And as soon as we get into a physical relationship with someone and we're having sex, it means that we are falsifying our feelings because those chemicals, the oxytocin that is released, falsifies love. And it means that you went on a few dates and then all of a sudden you're having sex, which means that when you guys hang out, sex is usually expected at some point during that hangout. And so you're only spending a little bit of time getting to know each other at the beginning, which is like of the hangout, which is filled with seduction and flirting and maybe some, you know, little convos that allude to like a sexual connotation. And you're really trying to get both of you are getting highly aroused and preparing for sex. And then you have sex and then you're just like eating and watching Netflix. And then eventually, 2 years down the line, after those hormones, because it's, you know, the honeymoon effect takes around 2 years. So then in 2 years, those hormones start to decrease and level out to where they were at the normal baseline you were when you started, like before you dated them. And then you're going to look at each other and be like, well, why did we go for each other? Like, I don't think we're compatible, or we're having all these fights because we have these fundamental differences or whatever. And it's because you didn't take time to get to know the person before you falsified love. And so I was very clear with myself that I wanted to fall in love with Jay without those pretend chemicals, because I wouldn't know if this is someone that I wanted to be with. And because I was prioritizing marriage, prioritizing that type of commitment and partnership, I knew that something that special was going to need some time. And some of you might be thinking, yeah, well, I've been with my husband for 15 years. We had sex on the second date, and it turned out to be okay. And I would really encourage you to take a step back now that you're 15, maybe 10 or 22 years into your partnership, and look at the beginning of your relationship and look at the struggles you had to face after those hormones started to come baseline. Did you really struggle in your relationship? Because you're still together today, and that is amazing. And there are always exceptions to the rules. But I'd be curious to know if it was a huge challenge, or you had to go through a lot of fights, or maybe you're a couple who loves each other, but you fight hard, or there are big disagreements, or maybe there was a time in your relationship where you really had to take a huge amount of space. That inevitably will happen in your relationships because we are evolving and growing as human beings. And the key to relationship is finding a partner who wants to grow and evolve, who wants to work on their shit and better themselves and not stay stagnant. And the key is to have them do all that work while you're doing your work as you live your life parallel. You're not joined as one, but you have to evolve and grow in a parallel way. You know, someone might be a little bit ahead, and envision, you know, a highway where you have two lanes of traffic going in the same direction, and both one car is on that left side, the other car is on that right side, and you're both driving and you're heading in the same direction, and that's good. You want that direction, but are you keeping your car up to date and the maintenance well? Is the check engine light on? Like, can you keep a good steady pace so that you can keep up with the other person? And someone might accelerate a bit more, and that's okay, and that's them. And then they might coast a bit, and then you're accelerating and you're working on things. And so you just want to always make sure that you're, you know, in view of the other car, and know that both of you are working towards the same destination, and it is always to, communicate well with one another, learn new communication and coping skills, and working through the past shit that's impacting you in this current relationship. And so that's really, truly important. I don't know how I got into that tangent, but you know, that's okay. It was worthwhile. So I set physical boundaries for myself. I did not tell him. I think that's really important. You don't tell a man when you're going to have sex with him, because he'll just wait it out. And you learn a lot when a man, you learn a lot about someone when they don't get what they want. And yesterday, ironically, before, like just after I decided I was going to make this podcast, I saw a reel. It was a podcast interview, a man interviewing this woman saying, like, well, why wouldn't you, why, like, if we're dating but you're abstaining from sex, why would you expect me to abstain from sex? Because you're not giving me something, so why would I stay? And it's such a wounded man question and view. And the thing is, this is a woman who knows how her body reacts. This is also a woman who knows how men react and how men fall in love, which I'm going to get into in a minute with the science. But the idea that in order to make it worth a man's while that a woman has to give out doesn't make any sense, because a man can get sex anywhere he wants. It's so easy. What is ridiculously hard is to find a woman who is of high value, so who respects herself, who prioritizes herself, who has done the work to understand why she is the way she is, and to work through the trauma she's gone through, who is ready to be in relationship, who knows what she brings to the table, and who can pour into relationship. That's hard to find, who also matches your values and what you view. That's hard to find. And so when you find her and you're ready for her, that means that she should not be easy, because I'm going to be very real. Women are really easy. I used to be easy. It was easy to make me think that I was valued and desired. And therefore I felt that in order to keep a man, I had to give out before I was ready. And I just perpetuated the hurting cycle for me. It wasn't really men who were hurting me in that way. I was hurting myself by the way I valued and put value on me. And it was like a man wouldn't stick around if I wasn't giving him something. But because that's so rare, and men are designed to pursue and designed to want a challenge, it makes you more rare. And so, yes, it's a little bit, you could call this a game. This is the dating game. And it's not a manipulative game at all. It is a game to ensure that you don't get manipulated, because as soon as a woman starts having sex and she's having orgasms with a man, oxytocin is released. That is the love bonding hormone, and that falsifies love. So you definitely want to make sure that you are protecting yourself and ensuring that this is a man of high caliber and is going to treat you the way you are requesting to be treated. And so in order for him to share your body, because he's going to be inside of you, he needs to go through some hoops. He needs to show you who he is, what he values. When times get tough, how does he act? When there is conflict or ego gets bruised, how does he show up? Because my love, you are not looking for some casual random hookup. You are looking for a man who is going to stand in integrity and be a pillar of strength and stability for you during the chaos that life inevitably will throw your way. So you better have high standards, and you better make it fucking hard for him to get in your pants, okay? Let me explain to you how men fall in love. It's very different than women, and we make this mistake a lot as women, thinking that we're falling in love and we get attached, and so therefore men will get attached. It's not the case. So there is something that happens with men. So women fall in love through oxytocin. Men fall in love through vasopressin and norepinephrine. And when men start to date a woman, their testosterone spikes, which blocks those two chemicals from coming through and allowing him to fall in love and so when a man has sex too early, something can take place, which is called the Coolidge effect, which happens in most animals, which is they were pursuing you real fucking hard. They wanted you. Everything felt in alignment about you. And then they had sex with you before that testosterone could lower, allowing those two, norepinephrine and vasopressin, to get through. And it means that the testosterone is blocking those two chemicals and they lose interest in you. And they might have sex with you a few more times. They might have sex with you for a few months. They might feel like, you know, we could be in a relationship. Let's see how this goes. But because those chemicals were not working in tandem, it means that he will soon lose interest and look for someone else. Or you might enter into a relationship quite early on, but he's going to be cheating or opening his eyes will still be open to other possibilities and kind of keep an eye. That's what I meant to say. Keep an eye open for other possible mates. And that's just called science and called chemicals and how our bodies are set up. And I'm sorry if you're pissed off by that. Like you're pissed off by a fact, by science. And a lot of women are pissed off by it because we have been raised now to think that we can do things like men and blah, blah. You can't. I'm sorry. You can't have meaningless sex. It's just not how you're chemically set up. And it's just how it is. And if you would actually like sit down with yourself and write out how you felt and how you were showing up in all these situations, you would know that you were being impacted, and that would make a lot of sense as to why you should protect that. The only way that a man's testosterone is going to decrease, allowing for the two chemicals to get through that allow him to fall in love, is for him to commit to you. And that means different things, but it means that he needs to find ways, like you need to approach the dating stage with enough time that allows him to have different experiences with you that portray you as someone that they would want to be with, that they can start to envision a life with you, envision like how they want to protect you or provide for you, honor you, fix your problems. And so that only comes with time. So this is why in, what was it, Failure to Launch movie with Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew McConaughey, one of the rules that she made in terms of getting these men out of their parents' home and in falling in love with her and then leaving the house and then they break up, is that a man teaches you something. Men really love to teach women something, not because they don't think that woman can, you know, already knows it, but it's a kind of a leadership aspect. And one of the first things that I did after dating Jay, I invited him over and I had him teach me an organization software around ADHD. And he was very excited to teach me. It's something that works really well for him. He also has ADHD, but we have different types of ADHD. And so I knew that, like, as soon as he came in and signed on and I saw it, I was like, oh, I already tried these things. It does not work, especially, well, anyway, I won't get into it because I'm so detail oriented sometimes here and it doesn't matter on this podcast. But as soon as I saw that and I knew that this wasn't going to work, I did not say anything, because that would have kiboshed his desire to take charge and take lead and show me something. Something I also wanted to experience was how he acted and how he interacted with me when he was teaching me something that I didn't know. That teaches me a lot about a man. And so I didn't kibosh it. I learned a lot. It also allowed me to learn how he uses the software at work. So now I know when he's talking about Jira that this is what it is. And he set me up and he felt really good about it. And I felt really good because this man was putting effort that had nothing to do with physical aspects, no making out, nothing like that. Like, he just wanted to show me something because he knew that it was, I had a problem, and then he was trying to create a solution. Women are not solution based. We're not solution oriented. We want to share how we're feeling. Men want to fix. And I think it's really important. So that was a way for him to connect. That was a way to lower the testosterone, to allow vasopressin and norepinephrine to get through to commit to me. Keep in mind, I was still trying to figure out if I wanted to commit to him, okay? So that's an example. Going to experiences that have nothing, like going to having him plan something that has nothing to do with physical intimacy, okay? Because men really love to plan things that are at home or like chill out to the possibility of sex or making out. But I shared with him all the things that I really loved, and then he made plans. He planned dates. And that made him feel really excited because he was taking leadership of that and I was accepting it, okay? I was receiving this plan. I was praising him for how well he did because I was feeling that. And I really appreciated being poured into and having that intentionality. I really felt loved and that this person was trying to get to understand who I was at the core and what made me happy. And if there was something that didn't feel right, I would tell him. So I have had full control. Just because a man is leading doesn't mean you don't get to lead. It's that he's taking charge and he's peacocking. He is courting you. That is a lost art. Courting is a lost art that is so beautiful and allows you to really understand who this person is. I also set emotional boundaries, as I mentioned, so that I wasn't falling too quickly. So anytime I felt like, oh my God, I really love this guy, he's so great, I would write out things that felt good and things that I was concerned about. And I would just like hold space for that. And I didn't fall madly over heels in love at the beginning. And he was pretty entranced with me from the beginning. He let my mutual friend know that, like, he literally got rid of all the dating apps. He let go of all the women that, not like there were so many, but there were some women that he continued to talk with. He let all of them go. He said, whatever, closed up shop. And he put me as like the number one, and he was putting all of his energy into pursuing me. At the same time, to keep myself safe from putting all of my energy, because a woman should not, when Jay and I have disagreed on this, and that's okay. Until he asked me to be his actual, like his, you know, committed girlfriend, I kept my doors open for dates, nothing physical and nothing that was going to be as connected as he and I were getting, but I kept that open because it meant that I wasn't pouring all of my energy into him the way I had in the past. It was a way to keep me safe. So I was accepting dates. There was a man who asked me out on a date on the trail, and I accepted those dates knowing that they were not my priority. He was my priority and who I was interested in, but I kept that open without ever crossing a line that could potentially ruin what Jay and I were working and building towards. But I always kept it open, but with a lot of boundaries and barriers. And I ended up not going on the dates because I was like, you know what, I really like Jay, but I'm glad that I kept my options open. But I had been told he was going to go full force pursuing on me. My mutual friend told me that. And so I was doing, because he was like dead set on me, it did make me a little bit concerned, because there are two, you can have a man who like is obsessed with you and only wants you because that's the dopamine fix, and he's, you know, wanting to manipulate you, and then once he gets you, he's done. And then you also have a man who knows what he wants, who is ready for a relationship, can see that you are a woman of high caliber and wants you and wants to pour into you, and wants to just like go gung-ho. And that's like a really healthy masculine. But it, when you don't know the person and you're getting to know them, it's hard to decipher, is this someone who is healthy or is this someone who is wounded? So it's really important to keep yourself safe and kind of keep them at a distance, okay? And then I was upfront about what I wanted, which was so lovely because he kind of started that conversation too. But I knew that in past relationships, if I wanted something and they didn't want that, like I would flex and bend to what they wanted out of fear that we wouldn't be compatible. And I was always coming from a self-sacrificing narrative instead of being fully embodied in what I want. And if you, I like, these are the things I will not falter on. I will not compromise on these aspects of relationship. And then these other things I'm good to compromise, or I'm good to like for both of us to kind of give and take. So there are things that are absolutely necessary and other things that were totally flexible. And my absolute needs could not be sacrificed, because I knew that I was not going to show up as a good partner if I was sacrificing myself for those very important needs. So, I was upfront. I said, listen, I'm dating for marriage. I am looking for marriage. I'm looking for my husband. I do not want children. And there were a few other things. He was actually the one who started the conversation, though. I had already planned to do that on the first date, but he got to it before me, and which was beautiful. I love an intentional man. And he was like, what is it that you want from this? And so I was very upfront. Instead of being like, oh, you know, I wasn't scared of scaring him off. Keep in mind, I'm almost 30, and there's a larger age gap. He's in his early 40s. It's always been that way for me. I have a really hard time being with men who are my age, because there's a life experience and a maturity that doesn't even compare to what I've been through in my life, what I've experienced. And so I need a man who's had more years in the world to meet that level, so I feel like I'm understood and that we can be on that level. As well as, I mean, it's just proven scientifically that women mature in majority of aspects a lot faster than men do. So there's a difference. And my dad always raised me with the knowing that that if you wanted someone on your level, you should try going for someone a little bit older than you. Mind you, I don't think he was thinking the age difference that's between Jay and I. But I've always done it that way, and it's really nice. But no one knows that Jay is so youthful looking. Like, no one can tell. It's really funny, actually. Sorry, that was a bit of a side tangent, but he was like, what do you want from this? So I said, I want marriage. I'm not looking to date to fuck. I'm not here to waste my time. And he goes, what about kids? Do you want kids? I said, I don't want kids. Whereas in the past, I alluded to like my past the fiance that was in Africa, that, you know, I wanted kids when I actually didn't. Because I was scared of losing him, when really that was not scary at all. So I was open. And so he was open, and it was really great. And where do you want to be in this many years? And I was also upfront about what it was that I wanted in terms of roles. So as someone who has been raised to think that women have to pay 50-50 in a relationship, this was a very big unraveling for me to recognize that I did not want to pay 50-50 in this relationship, that where I was in life was not able to accommodate that, nor did I want to. And that by freeing up that stress of reaching this goal or meeting these financial expectations that I felt pressured to meet, if I alleviated those, I would be able to pour far better into my relationship, knowing certain things were met and that it did not represent in any way my capability. And that was, we've had multiple conversations about that. That has never been an issue for him. And realizing that I'm not in competition with my partner, and 50-50 for a man and a woman relationship is not the exact same. It's same but different. So I might be taking on different roles that are filling far more than he could fill in that role. And then he's taking on different roles that I wouldn't be able to fill in. And together we create this beautiful dynamic of man and woman. So I was really clear about that. And he needed to be okay with that. And if he wasn't okay with that, there was room to talk about it and do some compromising. But that was not really comfortable for me. And it wasn't that he felt like he needed to. We had an open dialogue before I set my requirements. So I was like, what are your thoughts on this? Like, what if I did this? And we spent a lot of time. We spent many, many a nights, many a days. Anytime we hung out, asking each other questions. Like, I had 42 questions for him. He had far more questions for me. And we just spent, because we were not fucking and wasting our time getting false dopamine hits and false love, we spent a lot of time getting to know each other and asking questions. And so I got to know this person a lot more. And I really came to understand why a lot of faith-based religions, like, or just religions, require abstinence before marriage. And that is because, and why people get married so soon. I always thought they got married so soon because they wanted to have sex, which is partly that. But at the same time, you just get to know a person on a whole new deep level because you're not running away from it. And I think it's really backwards in this society where it's like, let's get together and then we'll have these conversations later on I remember telling someone that I had a specific conversation with Jay about something, and I think we were like 2 months into dating, and she was like, whoa, that's a really deep question. Like, that's something I would probably ask at like 6 months. And I just said, why? Why would you ask it at 6 months? Like, at 6 months, you're already deep down the rabbit hole. You're already like, I love this person. I'm compromising. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this work, instead of being like, can I learn who you are and how you're going to take care of me? And I want you to learn who I am so that you know how I'm going to take care of you. And let's learn all of this information right now so we know we're compatible. And if we're not, yes, it will hurt if we have to part ways, but it won't hurt as much as it's 6 months or a year down the line, because we don't have that type of bond and that we don't have to compromise. Like, we're both here to get as much of what we want as possible, and we're looking for another person who is in simpatico and in alignment with those things. You know what I mean? So it's a huge fucking waste of your time to wait and ask these questions. And if a man is scared to answer these questions, it means he hasn't sat with them yet and he doesn't know the answers. And that's okay. It's not a reflection on you. But if you're going to ask these questions, you need a man who can answer them and who has already thought them through. There were many times I asked Jay a question and he's like, shit, I don't even know. I'm going to need to get back to you on that. He would stew on it for a few days, and then he'd come back and be like, I want to answer this question. So he never was like avoiding it. He always answered. He always was like, I'm coming back to this. You know, I want to bring this up. I've thought about it. Thank you for making me think. I also did not push the uncomfortability away. I just wasn't used to a healthy relationship. So there were a lot of times where I felt like he was too into me, or sometimes it felt boring, or it didn't feel like this rush of connection. And I was really doubting how I felt towards him. And I really had to find different resources and people who talked about what it's like to date someone healthy after a string of unhealthy relationships, especially if you were raised with a parent who emulated that unhealthiness. So there were times that I felt like, oh, he's too nice, or he's really keen on me. He's too keen, or he's putting too much effort into these dates, or, you know, he's too excited to learn about me. And it's, you know, now that I'm in this relationship with him, I look at it and these are all the things that make me feel so cared for and deeply loved. He still asks me great questions. And just when he thinks or I think we know each other, then something else happens and he is ever asking me questions, and it's beautiful. So he didn't give that up, you know, after the newness faded. It's funny that I look back now at all these things that I'm used to with him now, like this, I feel so safe. Were things before that felt scary and like an ick. Like him pouring into me at times emotionally felt like an ick. And I really had to process that with people who are in healthy relationships, people who had been in toxic relationships and then moved through it. And this is a very common experience. So sit with the uncomfortability of healthiness, because it's new and it will make you feel weird at times. I remember feeling like, well, I don't feel like I've known him in a past life, or I didn't feel like he was home to me at the beginning. And those are all things that had happened in two relationships that were like really icky and one that was just dysfunctional. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing because I read that when you feel like you've known someone from another life or another time, or there's just like a big zing of like, I don't know what it is, but blah, 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 blah. That's trauma, recognizing trauma. Somehow on the subconscious, you can pick up on the fact that like their dysfunction, it matches your dysfunction. And it's just like dysfunction meeting each other and being like, hey, we have the same language and I recognize you. So it feels really similar. It feels good because you are not going to be expected to grow and shift the way you're approaching communication and conflict resolution, because it's the same issue meeting the same issue. Whereas when you have a healthy relationship, you're going to have to shift and grow and feel uncomfortable as you advance in like those steps towards more of like a healthier version of you. The biggest thing is that I leaned into uncomfortable conversations where in past relationships, I would have leaned out and been scared, but mainly because past partners were not able to rise to the occasion. And so this was a really important thing for me, because in relationship, in marriage, you're going to have really hard convos at times and you got to see how someone reacts. And so I made sure that I was not scared of doing this at the beginning and that I was going to be shown what I needed to be shown about Jay early on and be shown what I needed to know. So an example of this is that when the very first time he ever came over to my place, it was to show me the software and we were going to watch a movie. It was in no way an opening for him to get physical with me. And I think I am the first person, I think he'll be okay if I say this. I'm the first person that has ever had, ever made him wait for sex. And that was really new for him. We didn't have a conversation about how long I was going to abstain. So he didn't know. He just had to keep showing up in the best way possible. And I had set up a certain amount time frame, which was months and months, so that I could see if he was going to get frustrated or wasn't getting what he wanted, I could see how he was going to show up, if he was just in it for the physical. And ironically, two friends of him, had mentioned this at some point of thinking that it was rude that I was making him wait to have sex, as well as it was going to be a huge problem just disrespectful. And this is not how he views it in any way. And as we talk about this after that time, he's really expressed how much appreciation he's had, because he learned so much about relationship and about me. And he's also been in relationships where he just went right into it. The sex masked it all, and then ended up having to end a relationship, a very long relationship that shouldn't have started in the first place. But he was very guarded with them, didn't tell them a lot. He didn't even tell them when we started having sex. He just didn't want them to ever know what was going on, but later shared this. And it does say a lot about their viewpoints as men. And I worked to understand their viewpoints instead of trying to convince them that my way was the right way. I recognize that only high caliber men are going to respect the chase. And men who have not put a lot of effort into themselves, men who have not done the right amount of emotional growth, and men who have not put enough time into understanding the immense amount of value and power that having a woman in your life brings, they're going to be looking at it from a wounded masculine. And that it is just what it is. And they're gonna attract wounded feminine, and it is what it is. And someone's gonna have to get themselves out of the fucking hole at some point. And sometimes people don't ever, but this is why I would do what I do. Anyway, he came over and he ended up my God, it was so fucking annoying. He just kept making out with me. I was trying to show him my place and give him a tour, and every second he would stop and make me, pull me in and make out with me. And Jay is shorter than me, so it was just weird, especially standing. It was just even more uncomfortable because I was craning my neck. But craning, I guess, would be up high. But I was slouching my neck. I don't know. Anyway, any point of that night, it was him trying to turn it into the physical. And this was three weeks into it, I think. And at one point we ended up making out on the couch, and it just went on forever, and I was really hating it. And I was like, is this guy going to just keep making out this entire night? And I felt really anxious and overwhelmed. And I was reminding myself like how to speak up. So I did. I'd say like, hey, please don't like touch that. And then, you know, he wouldn't for a while. And then he would do it again. And I'm like, hey, I asked you not to. And some of this happened. And this really fucking bothered me. And it should bother everyone, every woman. We've all been there. And I was really disappointed because this is something I've dealt with men who are subpar. And then I was dealing with it, these actions, with a man who I thought was high caliber, who was intentional and everything. So he left. And the next day I stewed on it. I was so pissed off. I was like, this guy did not listen to my boundaries and my no's. Nothing crazy happened, but it was just like, please don't bite my nipple that hard, or ouch, you hurt me, please just refrain from, you know, touching my boobs. And he would get like, he would respect that and then later come back at it, and it was a whole thing. And I was really disappointed in him, and I just thought, oh, okay, I'm gonna call him and see if he can come over later today to come and talk about it. He doesn't live in my city. And it past me would have been terrified, and past me probably would have had this conversation where if I would have just kind of like let it slide and just kind of brought it up a little bit, but not held the guy accountable. So I messaged Jay. I said, listen, I'm not comfortable with some things from last night and I really need to talk about it. Can you come here today? And old me would have been like, let's talk about this like when it's convenient for you. I know you live in a different city, so maybe let's, you know, talk when you're back, because he works in my city. When you're here, come by after. No. I was in my power. I am in my feminine. I am a woman that you are wanting to be with. I am a woman that has a lot that you want, and you will be held accountable and you will come to me. But I said it in a really beautiful, soft way. So I said, can you please come here later this afternoon so we can figure this out? That man got in his car so quickly. He said, I'm coming right now. Brought me coffee, sat down, and I actually tried to secretly record it. But then after I realized it didn't hit the record, like I hit the record twice, so it stopped. He handled it so well. I just laid it down. I said, you didn't listen to my no's. My one no is the no. It's not convince me. It's not come back at it again. I said, you were disrespectful in the way that you did not listen to my boundaries. And I wanted to see, and I kind of laid into him a little bit because I really wanted to see how this man was going to react, because we all have been there, haven't we, ladies? Like, you know, start dating a really wonderful guy, and as soon as they've done something that you don't feel comfortable with and they have to be held accountable for it, it's just different. They change, right? It all becomes about them and you have to like comfort them. No. And I wanted to see, because it's all great. It's great and all that this man is showing up in high caliber in all these other areas, but that was not a high caliber move in that moment. And so let's see if you're worth your salt. And I watched him. I watched him listen. I watched him repeat back what he heard my issues were. And then he walked me through what his thoughts were. He took full accountability. He apologized multiple times. There were a few tears there for making me feel the way I felt. And then he reassured me that it would never happen again, that he was absolutely sorry. And then he left that day after things were good and that was great. I felt good about it. And then 3 days later, he came back with a journal and he wanted to read me what he had processed through and what he had learned and why he did it. And like upon reflection, and we never had a fucking issue after that. So I leaned into that uncomfortability and I stood up for myself and I set my boundaries, because this is the biggest thing I've learned from being in a relationship with men and being a sex coach, is that no matter how great the guy is, he will push to see if you will place boundaries. I was once told that a man would fuck a brick wall if he could. And it is true. A man, if you end up not being hard on your boundaries and your like guidelines, they will push and they will try and try to get what they want. And it says a huge amount about you as a woman and what you hold valuable and worthy about yourself. You hold the power, my darling. And I don't mean to say that sex is the be-all, end-all, but your body, your sexual, the sexual aspects of yourself, the femininity, fuck, I can't say it, of yourself, the power, the way you hold yourself, the way you look at him, the way your presence makes him feel, your respect, the way you look up to him, that is the only thing for men. It is the biggest thing. So use the power of your body and your sexuality and your sensuality. Use the power of the feminine. Use the power of the respect that you can hold for him if he earns it to your advantage. It's what they want. It is all they want. They want your respect. They want you to crave them. They want to know that you are like that you just want them and that they make you go crazy in the best way possible. It's all they want. Women want far more complex things from men, and it's hard for us to fucking figure it out that men only want just a few things, but it is everything to them. Set your guidelines, and if he tries to overstep them, you have to know the difference between a man who is just pushing his fucking luck or someone who is testing to see where you lie on the level of womanhood. And yes, you can, I am saying there are women who are of more high value than others. Sorry. If that triggers you, then you got to look at yourself and ask yourself, am I that woman? I wasn't that woman. I wasn't a high value woman at one point. No, I was wounded and I let men walk over me and I let men use my body and I didn't speak up and I was scared and I sacrificed. I was not of high value, but I am now. It's just like men. There are wounded men. There are men who are not of high value. The men who said those things to Jay, the audacity about the way they looked at my body and what I owed a man who I was dating and getting to know, that what they didn't see that my body was of value, to be inside of me wasn't of value, just shows me that it is so fucking easy to get pussy without putting much work into it, that they no longer understand the intense power and the mad respect a man gains in a woman's eyes when he sees something he wants, knows that it's going to take a lot of time to get it and a lot of fucking work, but it's going to be worth it, honestly. So we're all at different levels. Not all of us are at the same place, and not all of us end at the same place, you know, so it's okay. So if you're feeling triggered by that, you're like, oh my God, you're looking at women as this trophy. Yeah, we are trophies. And if you are not seeing that, it means you're putting too much work into your relationship. You are a trophy. You are a trophy who is complex and comes with complex emotions and trauma in your background and things you're still dealing with. But who you are in your groundedness represents what the relationship is going to turn out to be. Respect yourself enough to allow a man to be so uncomfortable in the waiting that you find out who he truly is. So a reminder, you learn a lot about someone when they do not get what they want. And I would not touch a man with a 10-foot pole who held the belief that it was rude and disrespectful for a woman to not have sex with a man for an entire 3 weeks unless she had sexual trauma in her background. That is self-entitlement. That is a man who hasn't done work, and that is a man who does not know what it means to be in his healthy masculine and the power a woman holds and brings to the table into a relationship when she is treated properly. So that is what I have to say to you today. And all of that has led me into a gorgeous relationship. And don't get me wrong, there are conversations we have and there are discussions and sometimes conflict that are challenging, and we are still very new into it. But I say this knowing that I'm not approaching this in a, oh my God, he's amazing. Jay is who Jay is. I love him for everything he is and not what hormones told me. Okay. And now we're having sex. Don't worry, guys. Now we're having sex. But I know that I love him because my soul loves him, not because my body tricked me into thinking that I loved him. So that is what I have to say today. Thank you for joining me. Check out my freebies, my budget guides to pleasure, as well as cycle syncing, and my Bedroom Boost Pleasure course, my Centurbation Station course, and my Metamorphosis membership, all on nowthepleasurecoach.com. And if you wouldn't mind rating this podcast, I'd appreciate it, because as a Canadian, I cannot monetize any content. Unless you buy from me or you coach with me, I cannot monetize my podcast. I cannot monetize my TikTok, and I can't have a TikTok shop either because I'm Canadian and we don't get access to creator funds. So if you find value in my content, if you think that if I make you think a different way, I would really appreciate it if you would take the time to actually go and put a star on there. It's whatever star you feel is worth it. And I just so appreciate you taking the time to deconstruct and deprogram your learnings and look at life and relationships and yourself in an entirely different way. Until next time, this is Annelle Walker with Millennial Triggered.